And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? DJ here with my pal, Rhett Lewis, today. Bucky, I believe, is he still north of the border, Rhett? He's coaching him up there in Canada right now.
Yeah, he was all excited to go up there and learn a little bit from June Jones, and then June kind of jumped ship, and he's back down. He's coaching the XFL now, right? So down back here with us. But I think Bucky's always out there absorbing stuff, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. And something that Bucky's doing is always trying to learn and grow, which leads me to our guest on today's podcast, Ken Coleman, who is the author of The Proximity Principle. It's a new book out there right now. It's doing extremely well in the business section. He's done a lot of work with leaders, not only in the business community, but in the sports world as well. He's also become a good personal friend. So we're going to have him on the show to talk about what the Proximity Principle is, how it relates to the National Football League, and some of the lessons he's learned from talking to some of the top leaders in business as well as sport. And then we've got a fun little tag team game coming up here, right?
Yeah,
you want to explain that one?
I'm interested in that a lot, because I love these kind of lists that give us a sense of what to expect from a certain team, because we're going to combine offseason acquisition for a veteran player, either in free agency or trade, with a draft pick, and kind of just see our favorite tag teams, our favorite tandems of veterans and rookies, and as we go forward here into 2019, and we've each got a top five with some surprises in there. So
good luck getting that song out of your head, pal.
Oh yeah, come
tag
on, man.
Team.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Tag me in. Come on.
We're gonna have some fun. Yes, we're going to get there in just a second. Again, Ken Coleman coming up a little bit later on in the show. You're going to enjoy that conversation, trust me. And then also at the end, we'll finish it up. More impressive dynasty as we get to the NBA Finals, Golden State Warriors, New England Patriots. I don't think it's much of a contest, but we'll have that chat after the Ken Coleman interview. What do you say? Let's start things off with our top tag teams, addition of a free agent as well as a draft pick. Why don't you start us off with your number five, then I'll go number five. We'll piggyback back and forth.
Deal. So we'll start from the bottom and hit the top. So my number five is the LA Rams and the addition of Eric Weddle, safety, coming over from the Ravens in free agency, and then also drafting Taylor Rapp. So the Rams traded out of the number 31 overall pick in the first round, moved down. I think they ended up getting Rapp at 61. Or in the 60s, and the safety out of Washington, you know, it kind of ran a little bit of a slower 40 time, and maybe that's why he ended up down there. But Sean McVay said that he would have been comfortable taking him at 31. That's how strongly they felt about the player. End up getting him in the second round, and now he's got an opportunity to be there with Eric Weddle and with another, you know, top young safety in the league in John Johnson. So I think Rapp has some versatility to kind of allow himself to be on the field with those guys at the same time if they so choose. So that's really interesting to me, and that's why I put them there at number five.
Yeah, to me, he's going to be their nickel linebacker.
Yeah,
he's going to be going to be out there in their sub defense. He'll be playing in that linebacker role, and is one of the best tacklers in the draft. I love that that pickup. And then Eric Weddle can kind of be the captain. You know, one of the most underrated qualities when you're evaluating a safety, we always talk about instincts being number one. Communication is huge back there, and that is something Eric Weddle is known for. Not only his ability to communicate calls in the back end, but also to mess with the communication and the designation
right.
from the quarterback position, being able to size disguise coverages, bounce around, and play that cat and mouse game. He's going to be able to do that with Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, and as well as Jimmy Garoppolo inside that division. It's going to be fun to watch that defense. Number five for me, I'm going to go to another safety addition, but it's the Baltimore Ravens. Bringing in Earl Thomas to replace Eric Weddle, who they lost, and pairing him up on the offensive side with their first-round pick and Hollywood Brown. And when you look at this team, we said it a bunch in the run-up to the draft. They are going to build a track team. And we've talked about that offensively around Lamar Jackson, all the speed that they've added. And then look at what they've done defensively. Different player than Eric Weddle. Earl Thomas, to me, the best range of any high safety we've seen in the last 10-plus years. So you're going to get that speed and that range from the middle of the field on defense and be able to generate some turnovers. Hopefully you can stay healthy. And then offensively, physical, run. Well, there's nothing more frustrating when I'm watching football to see a team run it down people's throats, and then when they go play action, complete a 10-yard pass. pay that off. You've done all the work. Pay that off over the top, and that's what Hollywood's going to be able to do.
I mean, I love that. And the Ravens will make an appearance on my list here shortly, but I'll get us to number four. And for me, that is in San Francisco with the 49ers trading for Dee Ford from the Chiefs to get him for a second-round pick, then end up giving him a big-time contract extension. And then they draft Nick Bosa at number two overall. So I think on the surface, you see this, you're like, oh, they're getting the edge pressure finally. A team that, you know, bottom third in the league in sacks last year now has some pressure off the edge. And yes, obviously, that is a huge deal. But I'm more so talking about the turnovers. This team was last in forcing turnovers as a defense. They forced just 22 all season long.
Historically bad.
Yeah, yeah, really, really bad. And so you look at a guy in Dee Ford, who Next Gen Stats has tracked as a player responsible for creating the most turnovers by an individual in football last year. I'm talking about 7 forced fumbles and then kind of attributing him 3 interceptions as a result of his pressure. So forcing a bad throw or an errant throw or bad decision and resulting in a turnover by way of interception. So you're already upping it there. And then you get the tag team with Bosa off the edge. You get the sacks too. I mean, that is a huge big play addition to me for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I do love that one. I think that's a rock solid one. They're going to make a
and you throw Quan Alexander in there too. So that's another turnover.
Yeah, he's going to get a chance to clean up behind all the destruction they're going to create up front. I'm going to go number four for me and go to the line of scrimmage with the Detroit Lions and Trey Flowers, really the bell of the ball of free agency. Somebody that can get after the quarterback, but also can set the edge in the run game, give him a real physical presence off the edge in Matt Patricia's defense. And then you go on the offensive side of the ball in the draft and get both of our favorite players in this year's draft. T.J. Hockenson from Iowa, who, again, line of scrimmage-wise, be able to generate some movement, the run game. You can run behind him. It's like playing with a third tackle out there. And then third down in red zone, doesn't get any bigger than that for Matt Stafford. He's got a new toy here. And T.J. Hockenson, that to me is number four on the list.
I think that's fantastic. And I think the other piece of it is familiarity there, because I think you're getting player and prototype that structure in Detroit with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are familiar with. You know, a Gronk-ish kind of player in Hockenson, and then a guy that they already know is what they want in Trey Flowers coming over from New England. So that's a really good choice there. At number three, I'm going to the Ravens this time, but I'm gonna leave Earl Thomas out of it. I'm gonna talk about Hollywood Brown as you did. Same reasons. He gives them an opportunity then to win. If someone's committing to stop in the run game, boom, you hit it out to Hollywood, let him go, or you get it out to him deep, and you make people respect your deep passing so that they can't come up and try to stifle a guy like Mark Ingram, who they went out and got in free agency. A guy who said that he thinks that they are going to change the game, talking about the Ravens offense. I mean, that is some that's some lofty stuff right there. But look, he's going to get more opportunities this year than I think he ever got with the Saints, which is going to be fun to watch. So they were my number three.
Yeah, my number three, and you've already taken all the good points. Dee Ford
there you go.
And Nick Bosa. Only to rush the quarterback, but generate some turnovers as well. Don't need to go any further on that one, but I love that mix of what they bring to that defense. Again, DeForest Buckner. Oh, man. I think this is the year finally. I know the league knows about him and the league appreciates him, but I think we're going to see this year the rest of the media world embrace DeForest Buckner and just how good he is. I've compared him to what Calais Campbell is at his best. I think DeForest Buckner can be that, and I think he is that.
No question, and I think you mentioned him as your most underrated player in football on the defensive side of the ball just last week. So I'm actually going to give you the floor here because we both agree here at number two. It's the Raiders, and it's Antonio Brown and Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, and I almost went with Trent Brown here as the addition instead of Antonio Brown. But to me, it's all about what they've done offensively and Josh Jacobs providing that physicality that John Gruden wants to have. You know, that's why even though Marshawn was at the end of his career, why Gruden was excited to have Marshawn Lynch because of the physicality with which he runs. And Josh Jacobs can give you that as well as some of the younger Marshawn Lynch ability to be able to split out, to be able to get him out in the route and use him offensively. And then also you look at Antonio Brown. This is a team minus Cooper. And Cooper, again, well, that's another conversation for another day, was not the same guy the last couple years in Oakland as the guy we saw show up in Dallas. But now they've got a premier player. Antonio Brown, you get some of the sideshow that comes along with it, but there's no mistake, and he is a top five wideout. So you put him together on that offense with Josh Jacobs. That, to me, is number two on the list.
Yep, and it was for me as well, Antonio Brown and Josh Jacobs. So at number one, we both differed. We both have different selections, and then our selections didn't appear on, like, my number one isn't even in your top five, and your number one isn't in my top five. So this is also pretty interesting. I'll give you my number one. It's the Denver Broncos. Joe Flacco coming over via trade from the Ravens to be the new starting quarterback for the Broncos, and then Noah Fant, who the Broncos trade down from number 10 down to, what was it, number 21 or 20 there with the Steelers. And
I can't believe he was there.
I know. And so they get a player that they might have considered at 10, and they get him down there in the 20s with Noah Fant. So to me, this comes down to the Broncos stagnant as an offense the last couple of years. They were 24th in scoring and 28th on third down. That screams Noah Fant to me, okay? I mean, as explosive as a tight end as we've seen in this class and in the last couple of classes, 18 touchdowns the last 2 years. But then Joe Flacco just, for whatever reason, feels so much more comfortable with that type of game, right?
Dennis Pitta.
Right. His last full season as a starter in Baltimore in 2017, he completed 99 passes to tight ends. I mean, that's top five usage among all quarterbacks. So that just fit to me perfectly, and I love the way the Broncos went out and got it.
Yeah, I think some of that rep might be the fact that I don't know if they had a wideout.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Receiver the last five years for the Baltimore Ravens, a team built with tight ends. To me, the number one, again, we're not even didn't show up on your list. Yours didn't show up on mine. I'm going to go to the Jets. C.J. Mosley coming over from the Baltimore Ravens to be really the heart and soul of that defense right in the middle. Not only going to provide somebody that can fill against the run, somebody that can cover, but the leadership that you want from that middle linebacker position, he's going to bring that. And then the guy that's going to be lining up in front of him, Quinnen Williams, who to me it was a 1A, 1B in terms of who the best player was in this year's draft. I had no complaint whatsoever if you had Quinnen Williams as the top guy. He was number two for me. But Quinnen Williams getting to play next to Leonard Williams and C.J. Mosley behind him, and then behind them you have Jamal Adams. With Greg Williams and all the chaos he can generate, it's going to be fun to watch this Jets defense, and I just love the addition. C.J. Mosley pairing with Quinnen Williams, to me, that's the top tag team that we're talking about in this year.
You know, and I think a lot was made about the reports out there that Adam Gase didn't want to pay C.J. Mosley that much. I think that's BS, for lack of a better word. Adam Gase is going to love,
I think it was called out as
C.J. Mosley. Yeah. In fact, it's almost like the set it and forget it kind of philosophy there. You know, him dealing with the offense, he knows that that defense is going to be running right with C.J. Mosley there. So, great one.
No doubt. Well, there you go. Fun little game there. Tag team additions. Feel free to lob us some tweets and let us know who we missed. Tag
Save your fastballs for DJ, please. Thank you.
Give him your Twitter handle again. I like to get
you at least four NFL. Yeah, I get that four follower bump every time. It's going to be great in a couple of years.
That's why we're here. Don't say we didn't do anything for you. All right. Before we get to our final topic of the day, talking Warriors and Patriots. Trust me, you're going to enjoy this interview. A guy I've got to know very well over the last several years. A name that if you don't know him already, get to know him, and you're going to really enjoy our conversation. Here's our conversation with our special guest. All right, Rhett. Well, I'm always excited when we get guests on the Move the Sticks podcast, but I can't think of a time where I've been more excited than this one, because not only a guest, but a good friend, Ken Coleman, is joining the show. Ken Coleman, the host of the Ken Coleman Show, you can find that, as well as the host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, which we've referenced several times here on the Move the Sticks podcast, and the author of the number one selling book, business section of the Wall Street Journal, The Proximity Principle. Ken, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for taking some time for us today.
I'm doing great and thrilled to be with both of you guys.
Well, I think give people a little bit of background on our relationship. Yeah. One of the neat things about social media, and Rhett, you know this as well as anybody, can be kind of a brutal place. You got a lot of trolls on there. You get a lot of negative feedback. But what you also do is you get an opportunity to connect with people that can help you grow in what you're trying to do in life, and you make some good friends. And Ken, that's how our relationship started. I think just a tweet, and then next thing you know, we're following each other, and it's developed a nice little relationship for us.
Yeah, I love that you bring that up, because it's also a place where you can root for other people that are like-minded. And when we connected via that Entree Leadership podcast that you were listening, I was honored and immediately realized that we knew a lot of the same people. And I loved your story. I knew that you were working your way up and great things were happening in your career. So it was really fun to just follow along and cheer for you. And then we got the chance to meet each other eventually. So I like those kind of stories from social media, because I think that is what they're really truly meant to do, is to provide connections.
I was just about to say, it's all about the connections on social media, the positive ones for sure. And Ken, DJ mentioned the book, The Proximity Principle. And for those out there that are listening that are eager to dive in and to see what's in those pages, give us a taste of what The Proximity Principle really means.
Yeah, The Proximity Principle is a timeless truth. And it says that in order to do what you want to do, we're talking about work and career here, in order to do what you want to do, you've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. So in other words, it's a simple formula. If you put yourself around the right people and you put yourself in the right places, opportunity will present itself. And that's what we all want. We want opportunity. You think about America and the American dream and why people to this day are just doing everything they can. They'll risk their future, their lives to get to this country. It's because of the opportunity that America provides. And so if you put yourself around the right people and in the right places, I liken it to being at a train station where if you show up, you know that the train that you need is coming. And I think this principle is so helpful and hopeful for people when they realize, wait a second, I can find the right people. I can identify the right places, and I can certainly be diligent to show up and stay there.
Yeah, I love the book. It is a fantastic read. And Ken, one of the things you get an opportunity to do on the Entree Leadership Podcast, you're talking to some of the best leaders in the country. I'm talking billionaires, millionaires, yeah, as well as some of the top people in sport. I've got a chance to, you know, I got a chance to see you at an Entree Leadership event where you interviewed Peyton Manning. We talked about that on the podcast a couple weeks ago. You've talked with Coach K. The list goes on and on. And when I read this book, I tried to put it into a football context and an NFL context. Yeah. And one of the themes that kind of came to me was coaching trees. We talk about coaching trees all the time where you look at somebody like a Mike Holmgren and look at how many, yeah, coaches have come from underneath him. People are trying to find people that have been in proximity to some of these great minds. Sean McVay right now is kind of the hot name. And so I was thinking, if you're a prospective coach in the NFL and you look at an opportunity, maybe to take a lesser role, but in the right place around the right people, maybe you should be it's better off to be a tight end coach under Sean McVay than maybe it would be to be an offensive coordinator under somebody that might not be going anywhere. That's kind of where my mind went when I was reading the book.
Well, that's exactly what it is. In fact, if you look at what we're talking about today in the context of the NFL Network, we're talking about coaching and we're talking about broadcasting. And if you look at those two industries, any industry is this way, but those two industries are wonderful examples of getting yourself around the right people in the right places so that you get noticed, you get the opportunity to learn what you need to learn, you get the opportunity to do it, and then the opportunity to connect. And that's what proximity does. It allows us to learn, do, connect. So if you think about that for a moment, yeah, that is a prescription for success and a prescription for longevity. If every day you're learning, every day you're doing, and every day you're connecting, I'm telling you right now, you'll never have to worry about opportunity or progress. And you're absolutely right. If I'm a guy who wants to make it the NFL, I'm looking at the coaches that everybody else thinks is hot, and I'm going in and I'm going to work in the film room. You know, let's cross the aisle to the NBA. The second longest tenured coach in the NBA right now is a guy by the name of Eric Spoelstra for the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. And this guy came in under Pat Riley, and his story is well known. You can look it up. But he was in it literally like a dungeon-like room, watching film, editing that film, cutting it, putting it together, and he never saw the light of day. And this is a guy who put himself in proximity to one of the great coaches of all time with Pat Riley. And now look at how long his tenure has been. And there's no crazy secret here. It's just get yourself where you want to be. And Daniel, you bring up a very good point. You've got to be willing to step in at an entry level. You've got to be willing to sacrifice, mm-hmm, put your time in for free if necessary. I got started out volunteering 3 hours for 3 days a week at an ESPN radio affiliate in Atlanta. And I was getting Sprite for guys that were making half of what I was making in my own business. But it didn't matter because, wow, those relationships allowed me to meet more people and get some real experience. And most importantly, to confirm where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And that's the power of proximity.
Oh, I love that. I'd love to share just a quick personal story on that note, because you mentioned, you know, broadcasting and sports as two places where you've seen it happen. I started my broadcasting career in Lubbock, Texas, which in the television markets is like, I think, 147, 150 out of 200.
That's a number three market, right?
Right. Market? Right. But I was so fortunate. I was on camera every day and I was doing what I wanted to do, and it gave me an opportunity to do that. But then I was there for 2 years in 2008. As you know, companies kind of stopped hiring for a while because of what was going on. And so I was in a position where I wanted to move on and find something better, but couldn't find a job. And so I finally had to move back home with my parents in 2008. And I went and just met with a television station in New Orleans, and they said, we don't have anything on camera right now, but you can come back here and be a producer if you want. So, you know, I was like, gosh, you know, I had perceived that to be a step back from what I was doing. And I was like, well, I got nothing else. I guess I'll do it. And I can't take credit for this because I didn't know what I was doing at the time, because it felt like a step back to me. But I learned how to do so many other things that 9 months later, I got a chance to go and work in Boston in a top 10 market. So, you know, it makes sense to me now, Ken.
Well, but let me say something. Let me give you some credit here, because you actually did do something. And this is something that people overlook. I love this example because you stayed. You stayed with it. You did take the step back, the perceived step back, but now you can look back and realize that wasn't a step back at all. That was a step forward by simply staying in the game. You could have walked away and nobody would have criticized you for that. In fact, it would have seemed safe and maybe even smart given the context of that story. But the fact that you stayed with it in a different role, but stayed in the industry, well, now you look back on it, it was a pivotal moment. Right. In fact, I would say that it changed your trajectory. And so sometimes staying in the game, just staying, is going to actually feel like progress, because so many people quit right before the opportunity comes. It's right around the corner and they can't see it. So I would tell you, kudos to you. You actually did do something that you should be proud of. You stayed with it.
Well, and I talked about this with DJ, and I at that time, the thing that I kept telling myself was, wrong place, wrong time. You know, it's just this, you know, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. But based on what you're coming up with here in the proximity principle, the right people in the right place, it's not an instance of fate. You actually have control over being in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely, you do. You get to identify who are the right people.
Right.
Where are the right places? And then, by the way, when you step into those moments where you're around the right people, how you handle yourself? Please be humble.
Right.
Please be wildful. You know, because humility and gratitude will get you a little bit of extra time and they'll actually pay attention to you. You add the third ingredient, and that's hunger. Show some real desire to learn and grow. And when you come in with humility and with gratitude and with hunger, I'm telling you, people of worth and people of note and people that you admire, they notice that and they want to add value to people like that. Because, by the way, I hear this all the time, Ken, if I want to sit down with somebody who's much more accomplished than I am, they hardly know me, how do I offer them something? You don't have to offer them anything than those three things I just gave you. Because by doing that, showing humility, showing gratitude, and showing hunger, they feel valued. And is there anyone among us who doesn't love when somebody says, hey, I really respect you, super grateful for your time, and I want to be where you are. What could you share with me? Would you share this? Would you share this? All of a sudden, they feel valuable, thus they feel valued, and that's all you have to do. You'd be surprised how people will give you insight and make a connection for you.
I've got an idea for a book as we're just sitting here talking.
Oh, great.
Because I think you could go through and pull out stories of the first unpaid jobs of a lot of people that have eventually ended up in a very good spot. I mean, I'm just going through, just recollecting in my mind, I would answer phones for Chris Mortensen at the draft, didn't get paid while I was in college. I had wanted to pursue TV, but I wanted to be on air, which wasn't going to happen at that point in time. My life had to take kind of a windy road. But I remember Chris Mortensen had called me and said, hey, you have an opportunity. I know the producer's name is Jay Rothman. He's going to be producing the national championship game. It's down in Miami, the Orange Bowl. You can be a runner. It doesn't pay you anything. They can't put you up. There's absolutely nothing you're going to get out of it. So I flew on my own dime, stayed with a college teammate down in Miami. This was the year, I think it was Florida State, Oklahoma, I believe, were playing in that game. All I did was run and get sandwiches for people for the whole week, didn't earn a dollar. But then he ended up getting the job as the producer of Sunday Night Football right when I graduated, remembered that I had done some stuff for him, called me and gave me a job right out of college to be on his crew. The Baltimore Ravens, the same thing. They asked, hey, would you be interested in scouting? I said, yeah, okay, well, can you come to the combine? Not going to pay anything. They put me up, so I'll give them that. They put me up in a hotel, and all I did was save seats at 5 o'clock in the morning for weigh-ins and fill the room with snacks. He didn't make a dollar. So I think there's a lot of stories like that where people, if you're willing to just be around the right people, that's what the book is about, the proximity principle. You can kind of chase your dreams and make those connections. But Ken, I want to hit you on this.
Yeah.
You've talked to so many successful coaches, and Coach K being your first interview, which is a great story in and of itself. But knowing what I know about Coach Belichick and talking to people that know him, you think of somebody as accomplished as Coach Mike Krzyzewski at Duke or Bill Belichick with all these championships, that they would be content in their knowledge. But both those guys are always putting themselves in proximity to the hot new young coaches and trying to continue to learn.
Great
I thought point. That was fascinating.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. And of course, we've now seen many stories written over the last 12 months about Saban and Belichick's relationship. But, you know, Belichick reaches out to Urban Meyer and, you know, these guys aren't such a big deal and they don't have so much ego and so much pride that they can't realize that, hey, if I'm going to stay on top, I've got to constantly be learning from other people who are winning. And Coach K told me that very similar story that he pays attention to the college basketball landscape every season. And he's paying attention to younger coaches that are doing good things. And he calls them up in the summertime and says, hey, I want to learn more about how you ran that defense or what you're doing in practice. And what did you do to bring all these transfers together and meld that mix into a cohesive team? Things like that. And this idea of being a lifelong learner is so important to grasp. Because the men and women that are at the top of their game, no matter what the industry, they are constantly looking to be in proximity to people and places where they can learn and continue to develop. And that's the key to longevity. It's not some crazy secret. And it's not happenstance. It's not luck. It's intentionality to constantly learn and grow.
I think that's so cool. I think we see
it all the time.
Yeah, we see it all the time in this profession where, and it also has to be the other coaches have to be willing to share. I think a lot of times in these businesses, we want to hold on to the things that we find successful, right? And not necessarily share those and give that competitive edge to other people. But I think it's cool on both sides.
What's so great about that is think about that. If you're open-handed and the word gets out that you're open-handed and you're willing to share,
right.
That's huge. But also just think about it. Are you going to be the guy that doesn't answer Coach K's questions
right.
or Bill Belichick's questions?
Definitely.
Because here's what I would say. Yeah. When they're asking me questions, I'm going to give them what they want. And then I'm firing three or four back at them because I've got them.
Right.
So that's a really key point that you make.
I love that. And look, we could talk to you all day long.
Sure
again.
Could.
One of my favorites. Go buy the book, The Proximity Principle. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast. Where can they find the Ken Coleman Show, by the way, Ken?
Yeah, so all the details are at kencoleman.com, but we're live every day on Sirius XM, channel 121 at 2 Eastern. So that's channel 121, Sirius XM. If you don't have Sirius XM, great news. We take each daily live show, and we put it out in podcast form that afternoon. So however you listen to podcasts, whether it be Google Play or Apple Podcasts, you can get the Ken Coleman Show.
I love it. All right. Well, this is one of the projects I gave you a really small heads up on this right before you came on because we want to have some fun with you here. And look, you on the Entree Leadership Podcast, you're talking to, again, leaders of industry. I mean, I could go on and list everybody you've talked to, but some of the smartest, brightest minds in business as well as in every field. But I want to go through some famous lines and some famous audio clips we've all heard from Super Bowls. And I'm going to challenge you here to come away with a leadership takeaway, what we can learn from them. And the first one is maybe my favorite audio clip in Super Bowl history. This is an audio clip. It's a story told by Harris Barton. This is a Super Bowl 49ers trailing 16-13, a game they would go on to win on a drive led by Joe Montana. We've all seen it. We've all seen it, and we've all heard it. This is Harris Barton talking about what Joe Montana was saying in the huddle before that famous drive.
It was the tensest time that you could ever have as a football player. You know, this is a Super Bowl, and you're down. And Joe looks at me, and he goes, hey, H. And I go, what? And he goes, hey, check it out. And I go, what? And he goes, look down there in the other end zone. And I go, okay. He goes, you see him? And I go, no. He goes, there's John Candy down there in the end zone. And sure enough, the whole huddle turns around and looks down there. There's John Candy eating popcorn at the other end of the stadium. And we're like, yeah, that is John Candy. Look at that. And then the official blows a whistle, and the play starts.
I love
how great
that.
Is that, Ken? So what's your takeaway?
Incredible. Yeah, I got to tell you, that unearthly calm is what was going on there. Mm-hmm. He's so calm in the moment that he's just observing who's in the end zone and sees John Candy, and he's so relaxed he makes the statement. But what causes that? So the leadership lesson there is relentless preparation leads to reflexive performance. I'll say it again. Relentless preparation. He had practiced these two-minute drills or these type of come-from-behind drives so many times in practice physically, also mentally, and I would suggest that he probably practiced emotionally. And so when the moment came, he was relaxed, blow the whistle, let's go. And so he's so calm because he's prepared relentlessly so that he can be reflexive. And he's not thinking about anything in that moment other than, oh, there's John Candy. When are we going to snap this ball? I'm ready to win this game. And that's the lesson.
And a great lesson indeed. And you love to have those guys on your team that are willing to lighten the mood in the toughest moments and just make you realize, hey, let's just go out and do what we've been preparing to do. Speaking of doing your job, I want to play a couple of clips from, arguably the best coach in NFL history, and Bill Belichick, now author of 6 Super Bowl wins with the Patriots. Here's 2 different mantras that you'll notice from Belichick during 2 separate postseasons. First, from the 2014 regular season, the postseason that followed it when they came back and beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And then 2 years ago when they beat the Falcons, came back and beat them in the Super Bowl. So these are a couple of clips here from Bill Belichick. Let's listen up.
Look, fellas, it's just about doing our job. Just cover your man. Do what you're supposed to do. We're trying to make too many plays, and we're not doing what we're supposed to do.
No days off! 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 Go Pats!
So, Ken, ironically, the no days off chant came on a day off during the parade, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get there. But getting back to do your job, it's a great one, but it's so simple.
Yeah, I love this. The leadership lesson here is leaders, you've got to make sure to remind your people, your team, that there's a very clear role that you need them to play, which means it starts way back in training camp. It starts when you sign with the team and you say, this is what we need you to do to help us win football games. And that's what Belichick and great leaders are so good at. They're super clear on what a win looks like. And so then you take it back to that moment where he reminds them, hey, wait a second. You know what your job is. Stop trying to do other things outside of it. Stop worrying about it. Do your job. Just cover your man. And we're going to trust that if everybody does their job, that our defensive scheme, our system, and our coaches are going to do their jobs. And we're going to be in a position to make a play. But you can't make a play if you're not in position. I think that's a beautiful leadership lesson for anybody, small business all the way up to Fortune 100.
And I guess leaders don't take days off, right? Is that what we're saying? Is that what Belichick's saying at the end?
Well, so I appreciate that. I'll be very honest and transparent. I don't believe in that.
Okay.
I believe that leaders need to find a place to rest every once in a while. But it sounds really good in the locker room. But no, I would actually disagree with the no days off policy.
All right. That's good stuff. The one thing going back again, real quick, to do your job in the book, a couple notes I took down in the proximity principle, know your role, accept your role. And then the key was maximize your role. I think that's kind of what you were referencing there. I love that. All right. Next one up is Doug Peterson. This is the epic play call that ended up leading to a victory. The bold call against the New England Patriots, a clip you've heard before, but we'll listen to it one more time.
Hold on.
Fourth and one.
Hold on.
One.
We're going for it right here.
You want Philly?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Foles moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick
and
Foles.
And it's a touchdown by Nick Foles.
Holy smokes. What did we just see?
This play call has a chance to be remembered as one of the all-time greats.
Yeah,
I know your
you,
boss, Dave Ramsey. But Ken, your boss, Dave Ramsey, when he talks about fear and he talks about don't be a squirrel, which I love that image, that's what I thought of when I was saying this. What's your takeaway from that moment and the boldness that Doug Peterson showed?
Yeah, the boldness came from trust. So the leadership takeaway there is that it was high trust in his quarterback. Because I love the clip. It's not the Doug Peterson audio that I focus in on. I focus in on Foles, who looks at his coach and he says, "You want to do the Philly special?" Mm-hmm. And what he was saying was, and Peterson could see it in his eyes, and he saw that my quarterback thinks that this play will work. And I love the slight pause there. You know, Peterson was just kind of like, "Okay, let's do it."
Yeah.
And this is a leader who trusts his quarterback. And leaders, you've got to let go at times and let your team instinctively perform. So I think the takeaway there is huge trust. And that trust comes across as bold. But actually, if you listen to that a million times, I don't hear boldness in Doug Peterson's voice. I hear, okay, let's do it. I trust you.
Yeah, another instance of calm in the face of a crazy situation. I thought that was neat. The other thing
Absolutely.
I thought was neat there was that he accepted the suggestion. You know, I think a lot of times leaders like to impose their will on everyone else instead of accepting what the rest of the room wants, which I thought was pretty cool. By both those guys, by Foles and Peterson. All right, you want to get to the last one here, DJ? This is great. I mean, this is the early days of the Super Bowl era. We're talking about Vince Lombardi and the way that he set a tone for this entire league with the way that he carried himself as a leader.
Let's go now. A little life out here. Let's have a little life out here. We look like we're half dead out here. Let's move a little bit.
What the hell's going on out here?
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here. And a seal here, and try to run this play in the alley.
Here we go, here. Come on. I want you to be proud of your profession. It's a great profession. You be proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today. Great deal for all the players in the league and everything else. Go out there and play this ball game like I know you can play it.
People to look for, right? Professors and professionals. Does Vince Lombardi fit that bill?
No question. And I love what you heard there. You know what you heard? Just some fundamental, basic belief. He was instilling in these guys belief. You know, wait a second, you guys, I expect more of you because you're not – I've seen how you can practice. I've seen how you play. We got to get some life out here. What's going on? Play the way that I know you can play. You know, there's a famous story from Lombardi. I forget who they were playing against. You guys will probably remember, but they were getting their just clocks clean. And at halftime, he walked in, and he had a football in his hand. He said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And, you know, he just basically was like, they went on to win the game. I think it was against the Redskins. But the point here is what you were hearing was just basic leadership and the idea of there are times, even though these are grown men and grown women that you're leading, they need to be reminded that you believe they can perform better and you know it because you've seen it. And that reminder that you're not performing the way that I know you could and should perform. And that is just the basic reminding, and it's a rhythm of leadership. People need to hear the attaboy, the attagirl. They need to know that they're not doing what's expected of them, and that still works.
I love it. I could do this all day long with Ken and go through and discuss the great leaders we've seen in the National Football League. But I will encourage you, again, go buy the book, Proximity Principle,
hey, Deej,
as well as find Ken's show. Go ahead.
I have one last quick thing. I got to ask Ken. You know, you mentioned, you talk about the empires that were started, you know, in what some people might perceive as adverse conditions or circumstances. Talk about Bezos and Amazon, and you talk about Steve Jobs and Apple starting in their garage, right? You know, when people say, I'm not in the right place to do this. You know, in your next book, would you perhaps mention the Move the Sticks Empire as another business that started with humble beginnings? I don't know if it was DJ's garage, but I mean, a little credit here to another amazing empire that belongs with that group, right?
Well, absolutely. And I'm so proud of DJ. I mean, all seriousness, I mean, you folks who like DJ and in this podcast, you follow these guys and you think, well, they're at a level that I could never get to in my space. I was never prouder of DJ than being in Nashville. That's our hometown. It's where I'm at right now. And seeing this guy step into lead role. I was watching him at home step into Mike Mayock's position. And do it so well, and so it seemed effortless. But I know how much preparation that you guys put into what you do, and both of you have very similar stories. And that's what I want people to hear. There is no stepping up until you step out. And many times those first steps are extremely humbling, and you don't feel like anybody's paying attention. But again, you don't get to where you guys are if you aren't willing to make those early steps, the most humble, teeny tiny steps, and then keep stepping. You know, this idea that your career is going to be this awesome sprint with trumpets behind you and everybody in the crowd cheering is a bunch of garbage. You know, it's every day I'm shuffling many days.
Right, you guys
have done that.
Right.
Oh, that's great stuff. I appreciate all the time that you gave us today, Ken. Again, you've been a huge help to me just in my personal growth. I'm trying to learn and trying to grow and getting a chance to listen to you and the conversations you do. If you are somebody that, by the way, that wants to get into media and want to know how to interview someone, go listen to Ken. Go listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast and go back through and listen to him interview folks, because I believe you are the top interviewer in the game today. And in sports, business doesn't matter. Nobody does it better than you do. And I've been a huge encouragement to me on my journey. So I appreciate your time, buddy. And we look forward to catching up with you soon. And let's keep this book number one on the Wall Street Journal list. Congratulations.
Pleasure,
man.
Ken.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I'm grateful and humbled. Thank you, guys.
Oh, Rhett, that was fun for me. Ken is somebody that's become a good friend, and I just, when you get some great information and you've got somebody that's helped you, you want to be able to present that to our Move the Sticks audience, and I think they would they'll definitely have something they can take away from that one.
I absolutely, without a doubt. And look, I've kind of gotten to know what Ken Coleman's all about through you talking about him, and I was blown away. I think we might need to make the assessing the famous former, Wireds right there from the coaches. We might need to make that a weekly deal here, because that was too good.
Wow, that was a lot of fun. I'm thinking as we go through the fall and we get Wireds during the week, we could have some more instant reaction of what that sound means. That would be a lot of fun. There's so much great audio. NFL Films does such a wonderful job of capturing all the audio and the video of the league and really tells the story there. So that was a lot of fun.
Also kind of leads us into our next segment.
No doubt. We're talking about leaders, talking about winners, and doesn't get any bigger in the basketball world than what the Golden State Warriors have done and are attempting to do here as they chase another finals championship, NBA championship. But when you look at the Golden State Warriors, I've seen it on TV a little bit, people comparing dynasties, and you go back and look at all the different ones, different sports. To me, let's not compare what Golden State has done to what New England and Patriots have done. It's not even close with the way that they've gone about their business. The New England Patriots, it seems to me, have been in the subtraction and the addition business. In other words, they've lost key people. It hasn't mattered. They continue to go on and win and chase championships. If you were to just evaluate the individual players, not once when they've won a championship would you say they had the most talent in the NFL, in my opinion. That's my opinion. You talk to a lot of evaluators. They are the best team. I don't think they are the best collection of talent. I think the Golden State Warriors are both. I think they have the best collection of talent as well as the best team. To be commended, I love what they've done. It is impressive, but it does not compare, in my humble opinion, to what the Patriots have done.
No, and I think that's actually even more testament to the leadership of Steve Kerr in corralling all of that top talent and getting it to all move in the same direction. I mean, you go back to the Dream Team, not talking about, Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan, but the Vince Young Dream Team in Philly. As you know, DJ, that didn't turn out so well, and so it's something to be said for the Warriors in being able to kind of bring all that together and move in the right direction. But I'm with you here. It's the Patriots. It's, and for a couple of reasons. look, there's, you know, there's 47 guys out there every day. There's 53-man roster. 53 guys that you all have to have pulling in the same direction in order to achieve what they've been able to do. And look, I get that it's a little bit apples to oranges with roster construction, but we're talking about, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys on an NBA roster and trying to deal, you know, and trying to get that and strategize for that. But, you know, the salary cap and the roster turnover in New England.
That's a lot of the challenge.
Yeah. It's just something to marvel at. So yeah, I'm absolutely, despite the run that the Warriors have gone, it's the Patriots. The fact that they had the early part of the dynasty and then they were able to stay relevant throughout and come back, and now this latest part is probably even more impressive than the first.
And the number of Super Bowl appearances is just
and the AFC championship appearances is maybe even more ridiculous
stupid.
To me.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. I got to tell you one quick story before we get out of here. So I took my daughter. They finished up the school year. So I took her to New York City, just kind of a little daddy-daughter date there. We went to New York for a couple days, go catch a show. Had a fantastic trip. But honest to goodness, true story, we are on we're shopping in New York City on Fifth Avenue, but not in like a fancy store, just like you know, a store that a 17-year-old girl would like to shop.
Sure.
In. So we're in there. And I start flipping through my phone because I'm not buying anything here.
Right.
Let her go look at what she wants to look at. So I'm flipping through my phone. Boom. Oakland Raiders have signed Richie Incognito. And so I'm like, wow, okay. That's definitely interesting. I'm sure that's going to be something people are going to be talking about. And a fascinating story. Honest to goodness, Rhett, this is a true story. I look up from my phone, 5 feet away from me in the store is Bill Romanowski, and he's wearing an Oakland Raiders visor. I'm like, I can't make this up. I immediately texted Mayock. I had to. I was like, this is unbelievable. Yeah, I went up and talked to him. I was like, hey, you know, he didn't know who I was. But we had a quick little conversation.
What was he doing in there, by the way?
Yeah, Bill. Romo was in there. He was with somebody that was doing some shopping.
Okay.
He was doing what I was doing. He was kind of tagging along.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Romo wearing the Oakland Raiders visor as I find out they've signed Richie Incognito was priceless.
That's great. Hey, by the way, did you guys go see To Kill a Mockingbird? Or what show did you see?
No, we went Frozen.
Frozen.
And I got to tell you, I would like to go back and see To Kill a Mockingbird. The line was a mile long there.
Jeff Daniels and Aaron Sorkin. What a tag team.
Very
hey, there's
cool.
another tag team for you. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Very cool. Oh, there you go. But I'm telling you, Frozen, don't sleep on it, Rhett. It's a really good play. We had great seats. It was phenomenal. We had a good time. I'm a Broadway show guy. People don't know that. I love Broadway. Plays.
There you go. You learn something new about DJ every day. And I got enough Frozen in my future with the two kids under two that I'm going to wait on that. So
good luck getting that song out of your head.
Yeah, thanks. Good stuff,
everybody.
Today,
that's
man.
My gift on this podcast. You're going to be singing Tag Team back again and then Let It Go. That's my gift.
There you go. Okay,
you're welcome, good. America. All right, that's going to do it for us today on that note. Bucky will be back. Rhett, I can't thank you enough for all the help you've given this podcast going
through
pleasure, the draft
man.
Process in the spring, as well as helping us out here over the summer. It's been a great addition, and you can tell, I think the audience can tell by the preparation that you
appreciate
do.
Appreciate that, man.
True pro.
And I look forward to being back with you because at the end of June, because I'm talking about maybe the best Manning Passing Academy quarterback class
I saw the lineup,
ever.
Man.
Ever this year. Yeah. So we'll have some fun talking about those guys too.
Yeah, that'll definitely be our annual tradition we will keep alive. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Move the Sticks podcast. Remember, you can check out all of our videos, nfl.com/mtsvideo, youtube.com/nfl. Appreciate you listening. If you haven't already subscribed, do us a favor, subscribe, and I encourage you to leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. I haven't done that in a long time, but those do help us as we continue to climb up the rankings there. So I appreciate you taking a little time to help us out in that regard. He's Rhett Lewis. I'm Daniel Jeremiah. Hytham doing a wonderful job producing
as always.
Show, and we'll catch you next time.